is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com. It is the Joe Pags Show. Really glad to be back. I'm telling you, we should be, Carrie, we should be completely ready. We had an entire week to get ready for this program, right?
Yeah, we should, but...
Everything should be completely ready, but it's not for some reason.
Of course
not. This application wants to restart my computer for some reason. Do you know when my computer decided that it was gonna go ahead and update?
30 seconds before the show?
Right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Of course.
So, listen, we're going to try to make it happen on a Monday. I mean, come on. What's the matter with you? An entire week to make this happen. It's a Motown Monday. You know things are good if it's a Motown Monday. I'm actually going to try to connect to you, too, even as we do this, Carrie. I'm telling you. We are going to make it happen. Oh, man. So when I look down over here, I could see myself on the monitor. Can you see me or not? You can't see me, right?
I cannot see you.
So I'm just wondering, how much weight do you think I gained in that week?
Holy mackerel. I'm taking you ate a lot of rolls with lots of butter on them.
Oh, Carrie, let me tell you something.
That was good.
We were making it happen. Oh, yeah. We tried to set a new record.
That's the way to do it. Uh-huh.
And I don't know that we made that happen, but we certainly
tried.
You
tried? Okay. That's good.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, it was good. You know, what's interesting about when I take some time off is I'm always ready to come back to work. I'm like, let's go back to work now. Mm-hmm. Time off done. Time to get back
ready
to work.
To get back.
Oh, I need a haircut. I got the wings happening around my ear. I'm telling you, I'm falling apart.
Yeah.
The whole thing's happening here. All right, so we've got a lot going on today. We've got a couple of great interviews. One is with a woman named Melanie Morgan. Have you ever heard of Melanie Morgan?
I have not.
MediaEqualizer.com is her website. And she was on Politically Incorrect, the Bill Maher program, back in 2000 with the one, the only, and I can't see your camera, so maybe turn the camera on. We're connected, but I can't see the camera.
I don't think it's working right now.
Okay, cool. And again, that's just the way it's going to be today. People, yeah. Deal with it, okay?
Okay.
She was on with Bill Maher, and Al Franken was also on. Now, in 2000, he wasn't yet a senator. He was still a comedy writer guy. And they were arguing about some sort of budget number or something, or the taxation or some garbage, and she said he was so creepy that he, like, followed her around for days afterwards.
Really?
So we have her on today, bottom of this hour. Make sure you stick around. We're going to make that happen. Okay, so we've got that for you. Bottom of hour number two, it'll be Craig Chapman. His father, William Chapman, was an officer in the infantry back in World War II and has a new book out and tells some pretty incredible stories about what his dad went through. And his dad, I guess, unlike some people from that era, was open about telling the stories of what happened. So that's going to be very cool. So we'll have that for you. And maybe if you're lucky on TV, by the end of the program, you'll see Carrie Lockie. Now, Carrie, did you do the Eaton like I did the Eaton?
I did a little Eaton on Thursday. I sure did.
I mean, Eaton time is fun.
Yeah.
Is it not?
It is fun. I very much enjoyed it.
You know what I didn't do this year? I did not do any leftovers.
Really? Oh, I had turkey soup today for lunch. Yeah, I'm doing the leftovers. You gotta. We had a lot left.
No leftovers.
Nothing? Whoa.
Well, wow. I mean, there were leftovers. CJ made the meal. My eldest daughter, CJ, 26 years old, she made the meal, did great, but made it at my house and left an extreme mess, but it was delicious.
That's the perfect way to do it.
She was very, very interested in making it happen, and was extremely nervous.
Oh, I bet. It was
about
her first
how it would turn out.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, I think that she made the meal for her little family last year, because I think that it was 2 years ago we were in Colorado. Mm-hmm. But she made it this time. It was just awesome.
Cool. great.
And she did just a wonderful job. But I guess, even though I bought all the stuff, I guess she thought she got to take it home.
Oh. So isn't that how it works? Yes.
They left
with all the leftovers.
I even drove my wife to CJ's to get a plate full of leftovers one day so she could make, I guess they do the traditional, make the toast and put the turkey and the gravy on the toast the next day or something.
Oh, yeah.
So they did that, but I ate, I'm pretty sure it was 18 hot rolls and butter.
18.
And,
oh, my goodness.
And 6 or 7 pounds of turkey.
Yeah.
And a small spoonful of green bean casserole. That's it.
Ooh, yuck. No, I can't do that casserole.
Next thing I knew, I was asleep for 6 hours.
That's what happens. That's
just out.
That's what happens. Mm-hmm.
Carrie, I was out.
Take a nap. Yeah.
Just hacking wind. I was out, man. But it was it was delicious. It was great. But yeah, ate like a pig. I was at the gym today, and Jill Mills, who is the former strongest woman in the world, she works out at the same gym, and she's training somebody next to me, and I said, "Can you tell?" Just gave me a look, and then she kept on going. I said, "Jill, can you tell?"
Yeah.
And Jill and I are good. I mean, we're acquaintances. I mean, friends, I guess, gym friends. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, "Can I tell what?" I was like, I thought she was going to smack me. And I said, "That I ate 18 pounds of turkey on Thursday." And she started laughing. And the lady that she was training, I don't know her name, said, "Oh, man, I just want to say hi." I said, "Well, hi, how are you?"
Oh, that's nice.
"Yeah, yep, my husband and my father love your show." And I said, "Well, great, it's good to know." Yep, I listen to it whenever they're in the car because I have to. I said, "Well, this is not a compliment anymore.
That's awesome.
This is no longer..." This is no longer a good thing. This is you basically saying you're held captive.
Yes.
And you're forced to listen to my damn show. She said, "Well, I listen by default, but only when they're in the car." I said, "You know, the radio goes to my station, even if they're not in the car." "Oh, that's so great. Yeah. Okay. Good to meet you." So yeah, I mean, I was, and then I'm walking around, and I don't know what I'm telling you. The bigger pegs, because I gained 17 pounds in a week.
Dude.
The bigger pegs. For some reason, I'm more recognizable. I don't know. Maybe I was too thin before. It's probably what the deal is. Because I should get even fatter.
That's what it was.
There's a guy. I think his name is Kevin. Might not be. Looks like a Kevin. He says, "Hey, my client wanted to say hello." I said, "Oh, how are you?"
And my goodness, Mary, weren't you the
very nice. Now,
one
Mary,
today?
Mary actually listens to the radio program. I said, "Well, how are
by
you?
Choice?
Good to meet you.
Oh, okay.
Nice to." You know, you're on the show too. Don't be that
sorry.
Person.
Okay, I just had to ask.
Because if they choose not to listen to me, they choose not to listen to you.
That's right.
Probably what it's about.
No,
to be honest
it's
with you.
Not about me.
But Mary was very cool, and she listens, and she wanted to say hello, and she heard my voice before, and I said, "Oh, so you're the one." And I used that "you're the one" thing on somebody last week, and they didn't get it.
It's not really funny. I'm sure they got it.
Think about it.
It's not hilarious.
They say, "I listen to your show," and I say, "You're the one." It's self-deprecating. It's hilarious.
It's not really that funny. No.
Yes, it is.
No,
you know, you still don't have a button, which is something that I appreciate.
I need to.
So, yeah, I wanted to say hello to both of them. I don't know the first lady's name because she's only forced to listen to me when her husband and father are in the car. But Mary was extremely nice other than that. Another little bit of housekeeping. WCLU, your home for local, is airing us tonight. WCLU is a great station. I want to say thank you to Henry Royce and the Royce family. We've been hoping to get on there for a long time, and they were very, very nice to say, "We'll put the Joe Pags show on." So, really, really happy to be on, WCLU, and we're on right now, even as we speak, and they're great people. And I don't think they are aware, that you're on the show. So I just,
they may not last
if we
too
can,
long. Is that what you're saying?
Now they're going, "Who's the lady?"
Who's the girl?
Who's the girl?
Yeah,
what's up with that?
Me.
So you ate, but not too much. Did you make the food?
My husband and I did. Well, actually, he did most of it. Because he likes to cook.
That is so horrible. That
awesome.
Is so horrible.
I had to clean everything up. I had to clean everything up. Oh, do not feel bad for
so
him.
So bad for that guy.
No,
Mario.
You don't have to. He's
my brother.
Great.
I am so sorry.
Stop apologizing.
Why can't you cook a Thanksgiving meal?
He likes to do it. What's the deal? I mean, I help. So I did the mashed potatoes and the rolls and stuff.
That's nothing.
I did that. Oh, it is too. Oh, and I did dessert. He almost did everything else. It was delicious.
It's all right. I have to talk to that guy.
No, you do not. No, you can never talk to
him. Oh, no, we have to have a conversation. There's something wrong. Oh, no, we're talking.
No.
You know, you're actually, this is true story. You're actually happy I don't watch the football anymore because we don't have the Dolphins bromance anymore.
I know, that's true. You guys used to talk all the time about the Dolphins, and now, nada.
You're like all happy.
Nada.
I have no idea. And then listen to me. Don't go on Twitter and tell me what the Dolphins did or didn't do.
Oh, I know you hate that.
Nobody's asking you. If I wanted to see it, I would watch it. I'm allowed by law to watch the Dolphins if I want. I'm not watching because they're stupid. And people are kneeling, and they're disrespecting the country. Do not give me updates. I mean, do you really think that if I wanted to watch it, I couldn't?
Of course you
There's
could.
There's a reason why I'm not watching it.
Yeah. Okay, calm down. You're not talking about me, so make sure that people know that. I'm not giving you the
We have to talk about... Oh, yeah. No, it's not you. There's a great guy over on the Twitter, and he decided to tell me, you know, show me some picture of dolphins kneeling or something. I don't care. I'll start watching when people respect the country again. It's that simple. And I don't even miss the football. It's been two seasons. I don't care. Having said that, we've got to talk about Al Franken today. Al Franken, embarrassed. I don't recall. I don't. So is he helping himself out, Carrie, in your opinion? I'm going to play the sound from his stupid little news conference today. Is he helping himself?
I don't think so. I don't think he helped himself today after that news conference.
I mean, is he actually apologizing? Or is he apologizing if somebody misunderstood what he was doing?
That's what I think that's
Which
what's
is
happening.
Not an apology.
No, it's not. I think the latter's happening.
Okay, so if you're not up on Al Franken and his fake apology, we'll have that for you when we come back. Bottom of the hour will be Melanie Morgan. Melanie Morgan is somebody who says she was just about stalked by Al Franken some years ago and that he's just a weird dude. I mean, she actually says he's a weird dude.
Interesting.
We'll have that for you at the bottom of the hour. It'll be plenty of time for your phone calls, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. And if you're watching on TV, I'll try to get Carrie on the TV when we come back. Keep it right here.
Joe Pags.
Welcome to the program. Thanks. It is the Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, about 10 minutes away from Melanie Morgan. She's a television pontificator, also a radio talk show host. She is somebody who you probably have seen on television a lot. She's making accusations about Al Franken just being a weird dude. Hey, look at that. It's Carrie Lockie. How are you, Carrie?
Hey,
how are you?
Just fine.
Let me ask you this. Why does Polo always have to figure out the problem?
I don't know. I keep pushing the buttons.
What are you doing wrong?
I'm not doing anything. I am not doing
anything.
Paula,
what is she doing wrong?
She's actually not doing anything wrong.
See? Oh, stop it. Yes, she is.
She's not. The app was the thing that freaked out.
How are you fixing it?
Because I just tried something. I mean, I got lucky. The app itself just, it was being weird. So we went back a couple of steps, and then we came back to where we should have been. And then it was working.
All right.
So it was just, weird.
Say you're sorry.
I will not say I'm sorry because, again, Polo has fixed this several times, and he's just being nice to you right now. I think you
Unlike
purposely
you, there's
shut
nothing wrong with
off.
Being nice to me. I'm not doing
what
it.
What are you talking about? I've been nice to you for 10 years, and it's killing me. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Or else we've got to take a look at this stupid, this Al Franken video. Newsmax, I'm going to go to the Al Franken video from today. He walks out, and I guess this is his way of apologizing. I think he's acting. Now, Al Franken is not a very good actor, so I think this is all an act.
Hi, everybody. I just want to say a few words before I get back to work. I know that...
Those who are wondering, the lip sync is a little bit off. This is the raw video from his announcement today. So if the lips are not exactly right on, there's a reason.
I've let a lot of people down, people of Minnesota, my colleagues, my staff, my supporters, and everyone who has counted on me to be a champion for women. To all of you, I just want to again say I am sorry. I know there are no magic words that I can say.
Just going to stop it for a second. Carrie, how many pictures does that one person have to take?
Taking several, you know what I mean? Hundreds, it sounds like.
What does Sam call that? Spray it and spray and pray? You spray as many shots as you can. You pray you get a good one.
There
I think that's
go.
What she told me.
Okay.
My daughter Sam, the photographer, of course.
To regain your trust, and I know that's going to take time. I'm ready to start that process, and it starts with going back to work today. So now I'm going to take a few questions.
Now, keep in mind, Al Franken, since the allegations came out, has never said he didn't kiss Leanne Tweeden. He just says he remembers it differently. And, you know, she says he lunged at her and stuck his tongue in her throat and he's a fish lips and all this other stuff, grabbed the back of her head. It was abuse. It was assault. And he has only said, I remember the rehearsal. I don't remember. I remember the kiss differently. So, Carrie, he goes to like three different reporters here, and these reporters all ask him for specificity. I mean, mm-hmm. What exactly happened? What are the differences, right?
Right, yeah.
And he never gives a really? He gives the same stupid answer. Here, let's go to it.
Sam.
Okay, so let me just stop it there. How is your recollection different, and are you denying anything that they've said? Now, that's a very direct question. So I remember not grabbing her head. I remember not putting my tongue in her mouth. I remember not, you know, touching her nose. I mean, give me something specific. So here's a standard answer.
Well, there are different, you know, different allegations. There's the Leanne Tweeden. Leanne and I were on the USO tour together, and on the kiss at the rehearsal, we were rehearsing for a sketch. I said that I recall that differently from Leanne, but I feel that you have to respect, you know, women's experience. And
what?
There's no specific. In that answer.
What is he saying there? I recall it differently than Leanne, but you have to respect the woman? You have to respect the memory of women? The recollection of women? He never says, I should not have done it. Never. Does he ever say that?
No.
I apologize for doing it. Now, he keeps on apologizing for how he made them feel or something. All right, let me go back to this. Here we go.
So I apologized to her, and I meant it. And I was, you know, very grateful that she accepted it. As far as...
What, he apologizes that his recollection was different than hers? Is that what he's saying? I think that's what he's saying, right?
Know. Sounds like it.
I mean, there's something wrong with this guy.
You know, I take a lot of pictures in Minnesota, thousands of pictures, me, tens of thousands of people. So those are instances that I do not remember.
Okay, I want to make sure. Let me just understand where Al Franken's coming from. He takes thousands of pictures in Minnesota.
Yes.
The allegation is that he'll reach down and grab a handful of butt. Okay, that's what he'll do when he's taking a picture with a woman. He'll just grab her rear end. He doesn't recall every picture. Does he ever say, I'd never grabbed anybody's butt in a picture?
Mm-mm, no.
Wouldn't that be easy to say? Ask me if I've ever grabbed somebody's butt in a picture.
Have you ever grabbed somebody's butt
no.
in a picture?
No.
Okay.
No. It's actually very simple to answer it. So if you haven't, can't you just say that and move on?
You could.
1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. When we come back, it'll be Melanie Morgan. She's got an experience with Al Franken she wants to share, and she's going to do something with the Bill Clinton accuser. Stay here.
Joe Pags.
great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, also Newsmax TV. Really glad to have you along for the ride. And really glad to have Melanie Morgan on. Great talk show host. She's the founder of MediaEqualizer.com. And there's some other things that you want to point people to as well. First and foremost, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Joe. I really appreciate it.
You know, I got the email from your people last week, and I said, you know, this would be a really interesting. First of all, I know who you are, and you're awesome. Secondly, you've got an Al Franken connection that I frankly didn't know about. And today, Al Franken has made it extremely easy to have this conversation. So let's start from the start, if you don't mind. How did you end up rubbing elbows with Al Franken to begin with? This was on some TV show, right?
Exactly. Back in 2000, August 19 of 2000, I was invited to participate in a political roundtable discussion with Bill Maher on his old show when it was airing on ABC before he said something politically incorrect
right. That
forced him to take his show.
Yeah,
to
I think he talked about how brave and courageous the terrorists were or something stupid like that. But right, I remember politically incorrect was the name of the show. All right.
Exactly. We got into a discussion about budget numbers. And my larger point always is that the government spending is out of control and that we just got to keep cutting. So I cited some OMB numbers that apparently Al Franken didn't like and started arguing with me. And it just, you know, it was really kind of an annoying conversation. But in the big scheme of things, no big deal. So
I can't imagine Al Franken being annoying. I mean, just knowing of the guy, you would figure it'll be. So just so that people know, it's the Office of the OMB is of Management and Budget. So
exactly.
You gave him literal numbers and he was disputing them.
Exactly. So after the show was over, you know, I thought, okay, we're done. I'm leaving. I go back to the green room to pick up a few of my things. And he stalks back after me and starts getting up in my space, my face, and starts arguing with me about these numbers. And I went, Al, this is done. This is over.
And at that point, he's not a senator yet. At that point, he's still Al Franken, the guy from like the movies or something.
He is Al Franken, the unfunniest comedian in the world. That's who that guy was.
Al Franken, the Air America failure. Was he on Air America? I think he was.
You know, I think he was in between. He was in between being a writer for Bill Maher and being Air America. So
he wants to continue the argument. He's in your face. And what happens there?
And so then he follows me out to my car, and I'm thinking, this guy is really strange. And then again, I said, okay, whatever. It's Hollyweird, you know?
Yeah.
So I go back home, and then I start getting these phone calls from him. He starts calling me every day, successive days, and continuing to argue with this. I said, look, Al, I'm not interested in having this conversation with you anymore. He's rambling on, incoherent. I have no idea what he's talking about. This goes on for 3 days. Finally, I have to threaten to call the police. I say, if you don't stop right now and leave me alone, I will call the police and make an official report on you, because his behavior was so strange, Joe. Really, you know, you've been in these situations before where somebody feels like they're creepy and weird and stalkering, you know, stalkerish. That's how he was coming across to me. And so,
well, I just want to interject this. I've done this is my TV show now, my radio show, but I've done Fox, I've done CNN, I've done MSNBC. I've been in the box. I've been on the set. I've argued with people. And afterwards, it's like a quick hug or a handshake and it's a goodbye. We've never, ever, ever, never, Melody, I promise, never have we continued the conversation off the air unless it's just a funny little jab. I mean, was he trying to get you to agree with him, or did you feel like something else was going on?
I thought there was a different kind of agenda, and I didn't know what it was. I felt clueless as to what was happening to me. I felt victimized, and you know, I don't like that word, and I don't consider myself that. But I felt like there was something going on that I couldn't identify, and I didn't know why he was doing this to me. And I felt like I was frightened. And frankly, it scared the living hell out of me, Joe. I'm just going to say it right out.
Yeah.
I thought there was something broken inside him. There's something weird about Al Franken. And I wasn't the only one. And, you know, my partner at MediaEqualizer.com, Brian Maloney, has written about him for 15 years. This is a guy who had a column in Playboy magazine called Pornorama. He's also a guy who described how excited and thrilled he was when his son, his then 12-year-old son, was downloading a book report on bestiality and taking it to school. And he was how proud he was. He's never apologized for his rape jokes, against women when he describes various rape fantasies that he's had. There's something it's come out that wrong with him.
He actually pitched a sketch where Leslie Stahl is dead and he somehow has relations with her body. I mean, this is a weird dude. And what we really know in the public life is that he's Stuart Smalley and he's a funny writer and he was in movies with Dan Aykroyd. But you're saying that this was sort of a known secret that he's a strange dude.
Very strange dude. And he's never been really held to account or vetted, actually, because he was a liberal running in a liberal state from Minnesota. Yeah. And there's a lot of controversy over his actual election about the number of dead people who voted.
Yeah.
So it was a shock and a disappointment to me because I talked in 2000 and 2001 about what happened to me on my radio program in San Francisco. It wasn't a secret. But when Leanne Tweeden came out before Thanksgiving and shared what happened to her, I felt that she was going to need a wing woman on this one because I know what happens to women who come out and step forward publicly. So that's why I shared the story. He has never acknowledged me. He's never apologized to me. And in fact, in the last couple of days, all he's done really is talk about how he felt contrite if somebody was hurt or offended.
Yeah, I want to
get
into that because
apologized.
The way that he's wording it, Melanie, is very weird. It's Melanie Morgan. I want you to go to her website, mediaequalizer.com. There's also a Facebook page you wanted to put out there.
Yeah, Stop the Scalping. It's where 108,000 committed activists get together and talk about, do stuff about, well, for instance, Frank and John Conyers, which I'll be happy to tell you about in a minute.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about him, too. I want to ask you about Leanne Tweeden coming out. Just two or three days before that, coincidentally or ironically, whichever way you want to look at it, Al Franken is in the Senate talking about how he's a champion for women's issues, and he's talking about this this tour where he's with the USO, and Leanne Tweeden is there, and he's talking about this beautiful woman that was co-hosting with him, Leanne Tweeden. 3 days later, she says she was sexually assaulted by him, basically. So you're saying that you weren't surprised. B, do you think that it might have turned into that had you not put your foot down on Al Franken and said, look, this stops from calling the authorities?
Yeah, I think it's possible. You know, I can't know what's obviously in his head or what kind of perversions was there in his heart.
We have a pretty good idea from his sketches and from the allegations now. Yeah,
exactly. But I just felt really, really badly for Leanne Tweeden. Yeah. Even though I worked for ABC sister station in San Francisco, KSFO, I didn't know who she was.
Yeah.
I frankly had not heard her name before. But as she was describing what happened to her, I knew instantly that she was telling the truth, and I felt it was important to offer up a character assessment of Al Franken
and
in
really
real time.
Appreciate it. I think it's necessary. So now, because of you, because of her, because of these other allegations that are coming out, I guess when Al Franken takes pictures, he can't remember this, but he likes to grab some rear end when he's taking pictures of women or with women. So Al Franken now says, "I'm so sorry. I'm I'm really embarrassed. If these women feel what I did was inappropriate, I'm truly sorry." Now, he was actually cornered today by a female reporter who said, "Hey, you've said that Leanne Tweeden's, her remarks about what happened, her recollection, is not how you remember it. So can you tell us specifically, Al, Senator, can you tell us specifically what's different in what you remember?" And every single time, Melanie, he said, "Well, I remember rehearsing for the sketch. There was going to be a kiss, and I don't remember it like she does." He doesn't ever say what he says really happened. Is he admitting it? And then he's getting away with it by admitting it, but he's sorry because of how she feels or this one feels. He's just saying he did it, isn't he?
He is saying exactly that, Joe, and I'm really glad that you're saying it exactly the way that you just said it, because it's so frustrating for me. He's admitting that he did these things. He will say he's sorry that somebody felt hurt about it, hurt about it, not that he actually did something hurtful. He won't deal with it. This is what sexual predators do. Who does this remind you of? Well, it reminds me of William Jefferson Clinton.
So much, too.
This is what happened during all of the 1990s that culminated in the impeachment of Bill Clinton. Was what is the meaning of is? Yeah. You know, remember that grand jury testimony that Sid Blumenthal came out and characterized as, he's totally exonerated. There's nothing going on. It's what the Clintons do. They lie about and then have other people ascribe different motivations for what happened or different descriptions. And it is so exactly a page out of their playbook. And it's very frustrating. Well, that's
I'm glad you brought him up, because you told me something before we started speaking today. And it's a little bit of a delay, and I'm sorry if I'm speaking over you a little bit. But you brought something up. I had no idea you were going to do this, and I'm glad that we'll sort of be kind of announcing it on television and radio here. You're going to go and do something about what Bill Clinton did 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Suddenly, Melanie, and by the way, her website is MediaEqualizer.com. It's Melanie Morgan. Suddenly, all of the left-wing media that's been protecting this guy and his wife for all these years, they're all saying, we were wrong about Bill Clinton. You're taking it to the next level, though. What are you doing soon?
Absolutely taking it to the next level. What we're doing is we're going to Washington. We're holding a national news conference at the National Press Club on Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning. And we are bringing Kathleen Willey, Juanita Broderick, Paula Jones, Dr. Alveda King, myself, and many others who have unfortunately had to experience sexual harassment or sexual assault. And we are all standing together and calling on Al Franken and John Conyers to resign. In addition to that, we're also asking that Republican Congressman Joe Barton resign. Right. This is a bipartisan effort. Right. We're not going to be trying to be tricky about this at all. And we are inviting Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, the former speaker, to join us. I want Dianne Feinstein, the senator.
Nancy Pelosi is supporting Conyers. You know that. She came out today or yesterday in total support. He stepped down from his leadership, something or other. But she's supporting him. He's a great guy, great character, great history. So we should just turn a blind eye to all of these women who said, what was he showing up in his underpants? He'd say, hey, look at me. And you actually you got to tell the people what you call him. You have to.
I call him Captain Underpants, because he went around his office in his tiny whiteies, and he was doing this in front of his liberal staffers. I mean, Melanie Sloan, who is now the current head of the Ethics and Government Responsibility Watchdog Group, which is liberal, was his former staffer, and he was doing this. And I mean, he's had to actually pay sexual harassment settlements, but he's complaining, $27,000, that's chump change compared to the other millions that other people in Congress have had to pay. So I'm just saying, I want to make sure that everybody understands what is happening here. We are going to go to New York. We are demanding the resignations of these individuals, and we are trying to make people understand this is a serious issue. It can't be treated and dismissed by enablers like Nancy Pelosi or Senator Dianne Feinstein.
MediaEqualizer.com. Go there. It's Melanie Morgan. I'm almost out of time. We burned through 12 minutes, and it's like we just started. I can go on with you for 2 hours. And we'll do this again, hopefully, if you're okay with that.
That'd be great.
Is this the beginning of the end of this, Melanie? Are we finally opening Pandora's box, taking the cloak off, whatever cliche we want to use? Is this the beginning of the end of powerful men thinking they can do anything and everything to any woman they feel like it?
I think that we're kind of coming full circle to the 1990s when Bill Clinton was the one who was involved in doing this. But I don't know that it's the end. I do know that it's going to be telling to see who actually covers our press conference in Washington. It's going to be interesting to see if the national media will have the courage to make their apology to Juanita Broderick and Kathleen Willey and all these women who were treated abysmally during the 90s. Are they going to get the coverage that they deserve? Well, we're going to make sure that something is said, and we're going to be there to go to Conyers' office and to Senator Franken's office, and it'll be interesting to see if they have the courage to speak to us face to face.
It's MediaEqualizer.com. Her name is Melanie Morgan. What is the Facebook page again?
It's Stop the Scalpings. We appreciate your support, and anything you could do to be involved would be great.
Okay, Melanie, let's talk again very soon. Let's talk after you take all the women to try to get rid of these people out of Congress. Please, I beg you, because I need this from you now, please call Conyers Captain Underpants at some point in that press conference.
I promise you I will do that.
Okay, Melanie. Listen, this is a really – I've got 5 daughters. I've got 3 sisters. I've got a mother. I've got a wife. I'm a champion right with you to make this stop. It's disgusting. And I'm so proud of you for doing what you're doing. Aww. Keep it up.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that.
Right. We'll talk again soon. We're back after this on the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags Show.
All right, great to have you. Welcome. It is the Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com on a Motown Monday, along with Carrie Lockie. So, Carrie, pretty good interview. I mean, Melanie Morgan had plenty to say about Al Franken.
I know she did.
Am I just being a right-wing, conservative, anti-Al Franken guy when I say he's not really apologizing?
Well, no, because I thought the same thing. I mean, he seems to go around in circles. I mean, what is he apologizing for? It doesn't seem like he's apologizing for these or the inappropriate things that he did with his hands with these women.
He keeps on admitting I did it, but they took it differently than I did.
Yeah, that's a weird way to put that. But, yeah, that's what it sounds
very, very strange. All right, we've got to go to line two because it's AJ. AJ, what's happening, brother?
Town, Joe. Hey, I hope you guys had a happy Thanksgiving, big timer.
Look, hey. AJ, I still can't breathe. I eat so much.
Hey, I'm getting ready to head to the gym now to get some of that turkey off of me. I gained 5 pounds.
With you. Talk to me, my friend.
Hey, I did not have sex with that woman. That sounds like Bill. Yep. And then that other one sounds like Obama. Now, come on now. Everybody, now, big time. And then they want to go after Mr. Roy Moore, and they don't have evidence yet. And we still ain't heard nothing about that the forensic on Roy Moore. The media show is quiet. I listened to Chuck Todd on Meet the Idiots this weekend. And then Martha was on for Step Stupidless, and I ain't hear nothing. Even Chris Wallace and them didn't say nothing about that. I'm like, okay, media, and the young lady that you just had on, she hoped that the media cover it. But with this fake news, you know, like Mr. Trump, President Trump said, we're going to give a award out to all these guys, CNN, ABC, the fake news award other than Fox. Well, we hope that they come and cover it.
Yeah.
We hope.
Well, they're probably not going to. Well, you know, I got to tell you, they might. AJ, they might because the media is trying to pretend like they care about these women now. They didn't for years and years, but suddenly they do.
Come on, big time. After 8 years of Obama, where was all this at? All this didn't happen until Hillary lost the election. Everybody forget that. 8 years of Obama, we ain't had that's just like 8 years of Obama, and then they all of a sudden they want to tell the statues now. Come on. Everybody know these idiots out of here full of, you know, big time I wish we was in a bar. Because, you know.
AJ, if we were, it would be nothing but filth, flar, and foul, man. We'd be throwing those words around. AJ, we love you. Get to the gym. Go work that turkey off. All right, we love AJ. Carrie, when I last saw AJ at the Redneck Country Club in Stafford, Texas, which is Michael Berry's club, it's a couple of years ago now. I don't think they want me out there anymore. But the conversation was very, very what's the word? Colorful?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, we were dropping bombs everywhere, man. It was great. All right.
Sounds like.
Got to hit a break here. We've got plenty coming your way next hour. A lot of people want to be heard on Al Franken. Minnesota, where are you? I want to hear from you especially. What do you do with your senator now? 1-800-383-9624. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show. Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. All right, they're also Newsmax TV. The Joe Pags Show coming your way for a Monday. It's a Motown Monday. Bubba doo bubba dee bubba da. That's how we do. Along with, what's her name? Wow, I was off for a while. What is your name again?
You know what my name is. You better remember.
Carol?
No, not Carol.
Karen?
Not Linda. Not Karen.
Linda, I think it's Linda.
No, not Linda.
That was the best out of all of them. Linda. Linda. Where's that even come from? 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Glad to have you along for the ride. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to get to. We'll talk about Roy Moore, that contest certainly heating up. The president weighing in. Is the president endorsing Roy Moore? Carrie, would you say?
I guess in a roundabout way. He certainly doesn't want his opponent in.
Doesn't want the other guy. But is he endorsing Roy Moore? I guess that's the question. I called out my Minnesota people before the break, and a lot of you called in. We'll get to the people in Minnesota. Al Franken represents you. It doesn't matter if you voted for him. It doesn't matter if you like him. He represents you in the Senate. He does. He's one of two senators from Minnesota. And you guys have to do something to get him out. Now, if he resigns or is pushed out, I think, and I don't know the laws of Minnesota could be different, but I think the governor gets to decide who takes the seat until a special election can happen. It's really a seat that should go to a Republican. Geographically, that state is mostly Republican. It's mostly red. But then you've got the big cities like the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul, that are blue, very blue. So this guy, there's no excuse to keep this guy. He's not even smart enough to just say, you know what? It didn't happen that way. I didn't kiss her like that, but I'm sorry that she feels that. I could see that, but he's not even saying that. You see how carefully he's being carried? He's saying, I remember it differently. Well, how specifically do you remember it differently? I just know that we did a rehearsal and there was a kiss, and I remember it differently. How is that answering?
Well, it's not.
Did you
he's
or did
not
you not grab somebody's butt?
Question.
Right. Did you or did you not grab somebody's butt? Well, I take thousands of pictures, you know. What? Yeah, but did you grab somebody's butt? I got to tell you. What do you make of that, Karen? Can't he just say no?
He should be able to. I mean, and you're taking pictures of complete strangers. Wouldn't you remember if you grabbed somebody's, it's a complete stranger, you grab their butt while they're taking a picture with you?
But women should be heard. It's almost like he's like playing around. To me, he's playing a role. And again, Al Franken has never been a very good actor. So this is him playing a role of the contrite guy when he's not. I mean, deep down, he probably is mad as hell that anybody said anything. And how dare them not like when I grab their rear ends. It's all very strange, man. The whole thing's very strange. And we will go to Minnesota in a second. But first, we have to do Trump Tweet. Trump tweets.
Dude, you take a breath of that. That was a really long one.
Woo! That was some Trump tweets right there now.
Sure was. People
all right, so let's go to the, listen, the people love it, so I have to do it.
I know they do.
I only do it for the people.
Of course.
It's this is from November 25th, so we're talking 2 days ago, 4:48 p.m. The president tweets, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or CFPB, has been a total disaster as run by the previous administration's pick. Financial institutions have been devastated and unable to properly serve the public. We will bring it back to life. Okay, there you go. A little back to life. The Trump tweets were pretty good.
You're still
come on.
Laughing at that.
I am because I'm getting reaction now from people, and they either love it or hate it. It's pretty good. It was pretty good. This is from 5 o'clock same night. Check out the recent editorial in the Wall Street Journal at WSJ, as if we didn't know, about what a complete disaster the CFPB has been under its leader from previous administration who just quit. All right? And then he's like, Kerry, he'll do this. Then he's like, beautiful. It's great. I haven't tweeted about Fox in a while. And then he just some random tweet about Fox.
I love Fox.
At Fox News is much more important in the United States than CNN. But outside of the U.S., CNN International is still a major source of fake news. And they represent our nation to the world very poorly. The outside world does not see the truth from them. Another, because the Fox News rocks, I guess. Because,
apparently.
You know, I'm telling you, he's going to blow our minds the day that he decides to tweet out, you know, that Newsmax, it's great. The Newsmax
TV. Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah.
That Joe Pags show. You know, I had him at the White House. Yeah. It's a good guy, that Pags.
Yeah. Wait,
8:52 a.m. yesterday. The last thing we need in Alabama and the U.S. Senate is a Schumer Pelosi puppet who is weak on crime, weak on the border, bad for our military and our great vets, bad for our Second Amendment, and wants to raise taxes to the sky. Actually wrote raises taxes to the sky. Jones would be a disaster. Would be so bad. Would be bigly bad.
Big league.
It's big league.
Big league.
But it sounds like big league. Sounds like big league.
Big league.
Yesterday morning, 9:33, I endorsed Luther Strange in the Alabama primary. He shot way up in the polls, but it wasn't enough. Can't let Schumer Pelosi win this race. Liberal Jones would be bad. So bad, the worst. It would be bad. Disaster. Again, I don't have the impersonation down, but I think I've got his cadence down, I think.
No, I don't think so.
Well, let's hear your Trump.
I don't have one.
Well, then don't be critical of mine, then.
Well,
mine
is
exponentially better than yours.
I can.
No,
be
you
critical.
Can't. You can be bigly critical.
Bigly do what I want. Yes. We'll do it.
Wow. This is from yesterday afternoon, 4:29 p.m. Since the first day I took office, all you hear is the phony Democrat excuse for losing the election. Russia, Russia, Russia. Despite this, I have the economy booming and have possibly done more than any 10-month president. Make America great again. Okay, just thought he'd tweet out how good he's doing. I'm doing very well. I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic. There you go.
All right.
This is from 8:47 last night. Back in D.C., big week for tax cuts and many other things of great importance to our country. Senate Republicans will hopefully come through for us, for all of us. The tax cut bill is getting better and better. The end result will be great for all. Capital all, exclamation at the end.
Okay.
9:04 a.m. this morning, we should have a contest as to which of the networks, plus CNN, not including Fox, is the most... He just loves Fox.
I'm telling you.
Come on!
Yeah.
Is the most dishonest, corrupt, and or distorted in its political coverage of your favorite president, me. They're all bad. Winner to receive the fake news trophy. He just doesn't care. Trump.
Okay.
Hashtag Trump don't care. Come on, man.
Your favorite president.
And the last one from 9:24 this morning, the tax cut bill is coming along very well. Great support with just a few changes, some mathematical. The middle class and job producers can get even more in actual dollars and savings. And the pass-through provision becomes simpler and really works well. There you go. Hmm. Trump tweets for today. Listen, he just doesn't care.
Mm-mm.
And what's weird about it is I truly think the media is waiting for him to care. They think he's going to wake up one day and say, you know, I probably shouldn't have done that. It's fantastic.
I don't think
the
that'll
media,
ever happen.
Fake news.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen. Yeah. They could hold their breaths, their collective breath all they want. It's not going to happen. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Tons of people want to be heard on Al Franken, including many from Minnesota. So keep it right here on the Joe Pags Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Motown Monday, the Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, bottom of the hour. It'll be Craig Chapman. He is an author, wrote a book about his dad, William Chapman, who was an officer in the infantry in World War II at both D-Day and Victory in Europe Day, VE Day. And quite the story. Quite the story, and I want you to go and get the book. Let me make sure that I have the name of the book here. But it's going to be Battle Hardened. Battle Hardened, an infantry officer's harrowing journey from D-Day to VE Day is not your typical World War II book. Bam. Said that, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So make sure you stick around for that. It's quite the story. I guess, Carrie, a lot of these World War II veterans, first of all, only 3.5%, he was willing to talk about it. His father passed in, I think, 2002. But he was willing to talk to his family about it, where a lot of these soldiers came back and weren't willing to talk about it. They were like, nah, not going to talk about this. Nope, that's not going to happen. But very, very interesting stuff. He says it's stuff that you will not learn in the history classes or history books. So make sure you stick around for that. Let me go to the phone lines. I haven't said it. What the hell's the matter with you, Minnesota? I haven't said it because I want to hear from some Minnesotans. I want to hear some people tell me what I'm missing about Al Franken and what he's having to say about these allegations. Phil, Minneapolis, what's happening? Phil, hi.
Hi, Joe. Thank you for being the first person. I've been listening up, hearing a lot about this. You are the first person who has said he has not apologized for his actions. Ever.
Right.
He has said...
Well, you're welcome. I'm just listening to what he's saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I remember it differently. I'm sorry if they misunderstood my actions.
Right.
Remember, the thing that nobody has brought up, his first comment after the Leanne Tweeden thing came out was, I remember the rehearsal differently, and as for the picture, it was a joke that some people didn't think was funny. That was his first statement, and nobody is bringing that up. He wasn't sorry he did it. That was a joke some people didn't think was funny. No big deal. He poo-pooed it. After the PR machine got a hold of him and said, you can't say that, all of a sudden, he's very apologetic. But in the beginning, he was not apologetic whatsoever.
And Phil, he hasn't tried to deny anything. He's basically admitted everything, and he's just sort of saying, well, our recollections are different.
Yeah. And like I said, at first, he didn't even apologize for anything. He said, I remember it differently, and it was a joke that some people don't think is funny. In other words, he still thinks the whole thing is a funny joke.
Hey, Phil, I got you, and you're absolutely right, and you're welcome. I mean, I aim to do good interviews and get information out there that maybe other people aren't giving you. Let me go back to the phone lines. Marie is in New Jersey. Marie, what's going on?
No puede ser esa hora.
Exactly right. Now she's speaking Spanish to somebody, and I'm thinking that we'll just put Marie back on hold. See, Marie is from Puerto Rico, remember? She calls in all the time from New Jersey.
Yeah.
So she's either from Puerto Rico or Puerto Rican and lives in New Jersey. And she was speaking to somebody about something. I think what she said was, please pass the cheese. I'm pretty sure.
I didn't hear queso in that, but.
No.
You don't, talking about cheese.
No. She actually said something about now. She said ahora. So I'm not sure what she was saying, but or she was watching, could have been Star Wars, could have been Uhura. It could have been that. Mm-hmm. You never know who's a character on Star Trek. All right, back to the phone lines. Let me say hello and welcome to Brian in Minnesota. Brian, what's going on?
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Living the dream, my friend. Talk to me.
Al Franken said he had thousands of pictures taken, and he's sorry for the few that took it wrong. I wonder how many rear ends he grabbed.
I guess I'm guessing all of them, to be honest with you, Brian, because only a few of them are complaining. I guess everybody else likes Al Franken to grab their butts.
Well, I think Al Franken should go, and we should just tolerate whoever Mark Dayton appoints in his stead for a little bit until we can find somebody who will represent the whole state.
I could not agree more. I would love to see a special election in Minnesota. This guy should never have been a senator. He's a fool. He's a guy. I mean, his history was well known. I mean, you know that he wrote that article or that column for Playboy. You know the kind of sketches that he did for Saturday Night Live. I mean, he's kind of been a joke his life. Now, can you go from being a joke to being somebody in the legislature? I guess. Doesn't sound like he's changed much, to be honest with you. And it sounds like he's some guy who, Carrie, if you don't remember grabbing some butt while taking pictures with people back in Minnesota, then maybe your mind is not. I mean, they keep on talking about how Trump is unfit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking Al Franken's unfit if you can't remember the squeezy of the butt.
Yeah, I would think, wouldn't you remember doing that to somebody and to a complete stranger?
Seriously, is your camera shot frozen? I'm like, why isn't her mouth matching up right now? Hey, you're not frozen anymore.
There we go.
Now you're good again. I'm telling you, I bought you a brand new beautiful camera. We just have to get it set up in your studio.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Have to get that going. 1-800-383-9624. We'll give Marie one more shot. Marie, what's going on?
Yes. How are you? This is me.
You were speaking the Espanol. I heard a little bit of it, but not much.
I was speaking to my mother. Okay.
Cool.
I wanted to mention about my 23-pound turkey that I cooked.
Yummy.
Yeah, it was delicious. Anyway, but my remark is there's definitely a double standard here. And I hope the people from Alabama, they're listening and looking in. Because Al Franken, he was caught on video with his immorality, and it's okay with the Democrats and the rhinos in the swamp, but it's not okay for Judge Moore. And if you also look at Pelosi said that Senator Conyers, he was an icon, another one in morality. And so doing immorality.
It sounds like he's an underwear icon, to be honest with you. He's not a senator. He's a member. He's a House guy. But he's an icon. He's an underwear icon.
Oh, boy. I'm telling you, there's a double standard, and this can't happen in this country. And then I also want to know the 200 other cases that are, you know, that are out there that they pay people's money to cover up their immorality. I want to know. I think they're mostly Democrats.
That slush fund has to go away. Marie, I hear you. I appreciate you. That slush fund has to go away. Carrie, did you know that there was a slush fund?
I did not know that.
Yeah, suddenly there's a slush fund, and you do whatever you want, I guess. Yeah, you have a nice day, and then we'll pay millions of dollars out. The taxpayers are that nice. We will take care of it for you. Back at it, it's going to be Marlene in Minnesota. Hi, Marlene.
Hi.
What's happening?
I just want to tell you that Al Franken may be the only senator from Minnesota, but he doesn't represent me.
Yes, he does.
Well, legally, but not truly. All right.
I just don't get it. I mean, maybe you have Al Franken for one term. The guy gets reelected. Really? What the hell is going on there?
St. Paul and Minneapolis.
Well, something's got to be done. They've got to redistrict that state or something, man. It's messed up.
I know.
Because, I mean, you guys almost voted Donald Trump in. I mean, it was close. But Al Franken, there is no excuse for this guy being your senator.
Well, he has no excuse for even walking free in the street. As far as I...
Marlene, I hear you and I appreciate you. All right, let me go to Joe in Minnesota. Joe, about a minute. Make it happen. Let's go.
Hey, Joe from Northfield, Minnesota. Northfield is where Jesse James tried to rob our bank and we chased him across three states. But Franken is just another one in a long lineup of idiots. Village idiots that Minnesota sends to Washington every year, along with Wellstone and another guy, I can't remember his name right now. But the thing is that he's not going to go away. He's just a pig. He has a position, and he's not going to resign. I live out in farm country here, and Trump got elected because my farrier, the horseshoe guy, my feed man, and the whole line of support that I get for this farm and the horses, they were the lost men, the lost, forgotten individuals. And
I agree with you. And unfortunately, I only had a minute, so I got to run. But I hear you. I agree with you. Get Franken out. It's all I'm saying. We come back. It'll be Craig Chapman. He's written a book, Battle Hardened. Stay right here. Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Stations across the land, iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, also Newsmax TV. Really glad to have you here on the Joe Pags Show. And really glad to have this guy on. It's author Craig Chapman. He's got a brand new book out called Battle Hardened, An Infantry Officer's Harrowing Journey from D-Day to VE-Day. And Craig, first of all, thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you for letting me share some time with your listeners.
You know, your dad was an officer in World War II, William Chapman. And what I found really, really intriguing about what we just talked about a minute ago and the book is that this is an oral history. In other words, your dad told you this stuff, right?
Well, it's more than an oral history. He told a lot of these stories that we put in the book, and that's kind of like the heart of the story, obviously. Yeah. But in addition, we have his letters to my mother during the war, which provided a lot of great information about what was going on in his state of mind. But then there's a third equally important element, which is a lot of archival research.
Yeah.
Tracking what happened to his military unit throughout the war. So those three things really constitute this story. And I have to give a shout out to the folks there at the National Archives in College Park. It's a wonderful treasure of primary source information about the armed services.
There's stuff here, Craig, and it's Craig Chapman. The name of the book is Battle Hardened. There's stuff in the book that we haven't learned in history class. And we really do delve into the mind of your dad and other folks like him that were fighting these battles that, I mean, if we think about it, it was Hercules, but it's the, like Hercules.
Herculean.
Yeah, I don't know that I could say the word as well as you just did. Okay. It was a Herculean feat, and what they did isn't really easy to understand. We really can't comprehend what they did, can we?
Well, unless you're under fire, it would be hard to appreciate what they were enduring.
Yeah.
I've spent 28 years in uniform myself and never heard a shot fired in anger. My father spent 11 months, well, less 4 months that he was in the hospital under fire, which oddly, interestingly enough, is really an unusual amount for any infantry officer. So the fact that he was able to go and actually last until VE Day was remarkable in itself.
We talk about the age of these guys. How old was your father when this was going on?
He was 24, 25.
So he was old. I mean, by those standards, right? I mean, there were 17, 18, 19-year-old kids who were doing D-Day and VE Day.
Well, he was also an officer, which meant that he had a college degree already,
right,
and had gone through some additional training. And the war at the rank of captain, so he had gone up in rank in a relatively short amount of time. Unfortunately, it's mostly because the people previously occupying those positions were killed or wounded.
Yeah. The name of the book is Battle Hardened, an Infantry Officer's Harrowing Journey from D-Day to VE Day. And we're talking to the author, Craig Chapman. His dad was William Chapman. Growing up, you had this open vessel with your dad to talk about stuff, and you had the letters, and now that you've researched the book, you went to the archives and all. But you were telling me before we started today that your experience is really very different than the experiences of other families. A lot of these guys would come home and not talk about it, right?
That's correct. In fact, some of the families of my father's wartime friends, with whom he corresponded and visited after the war, did not hear about a lot of what their fathers went through. And it was kind of a surprise to them that my father openly shared what he had gone through.
Is it just a matter of different people deal with it in different ways? Other guys would shut down because there's no way you can really explain thoroughly what they saw, and maybe your dad's way to deal with it and cope with it was to say, gather around the fire, let's talk about this.
Well, let me say that he never did that. He never told us, come around and let me tell you about what happened in the war.
Right.
These were all casual conversations. We might ask him a question.
He might shut it down. He'd be okay. He'd be open to answering.
He was very open, very objective in what he discussed about the war. And that may have been part of his coping mechanism. It was that he isolated his emotions, kept his sanity that way, and looked at the war as, I got to do this. It's a mission that has to be done. It's awful. Let's do it. And worry about life after we get home.
It's Craig Chapman. Yeah. The name of the book is Battle Hardened. I want you to go and get it. This is going to be a very broad question. Might be hard to answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I couldn't say Herculean, so I might as well ask a question. when it comes to what these guys accomplished and what we learn in school, what's the one major thing that might jump off the pages for a guy like me or for one of my, viewers or listeners that they're going to go, what? I had no idea.
I think it would be the adaptability of the American fighting man in World War II.
Okay.
The initial experiences after D-Day, frankly, the German troops, particularly the SS, repeatedly got the better of the American and British troops as well.
Yeah.
They suffered horrendous casualties in Normandy because they didn't quite have the knack of how to fight a combined arms army, in especially in difficult terrain. However, as time went on, they learned those tricks. They got better. They became more tactically proficient, and the situations flipped in the latter stages of the war. The American army swept across Germany. The German army was demoralized and was repeatedly run over in one engagement after the other. And most people may not realize it, but Germany suffered 1/4 of their entire war's casualties in 1945.
Oh, wow.
The last 4 months and 8 days, 25% of their losses occurred.
I wonder why we don't know that. I guess what I'm wondering, Craig, is as we look at history, and it can't be as full and you know, filled with your dad's stories and what you've now got. I mean, I don't expect every history book to be perfect, is what I'm saying. but at the same time, I wonder why we don't know more, because I would like to see 1 year of history taught in our schools in America, just what it must have taken to take on the responsibility that these young men did. I mean, I don't know if we can ever really convey that, can we?
It's difficult. There is a saying in the Army, the higher the headquarters, the more serene the outlook.
Okay.
So when you look at the large-scale strategy, it all kind of fits, works. But when you look down at the battalion, company, platoon, squad, individual rifleman's situation, it's a lot more chaotic, a lot more violent, and a lot more difficult. A quiet day at the division headquarters could be a slaughter down at the platoon level. So that is kind of what you have to appreciate about the story of World War II and what the veterans went through.
Well, you can make the plan, but somebody's got to do it.
Exactly. And it seems so much more simple and logical when you see big sweeping arrows.
Yeah.
And you read stories and you watch the newsreels of the liberation of Paris, which my father participated in.
Yeah.
But what you don't get to see is the artillery blasting the hedgerow that you're hunkering down under.
Right.
Few newsmen got that close to the action.
It's Craig Chapman. The name of the book is Battle Hardened. So your dad was open with you and your family.
Yes.
Again, you'd ask him questions. Maybe he'd remember a story at a certain time. It wasn't like gather around and we'll have the conversation. I appreciate that.
Right.
But I'm wondering, was he open? Was he always this open when he was writing to your mom? From there, was he telling her, this is what our day looks like? This is really the crap. This is not easy, but we're doing it.
Well, no, he couldn't explain things tactically
of
what was happening on the battlefield that was due to censorship. He would share with her that some things had been very difficult. He shared with her that she probably would not appreciate what his emotions had been and what his character has become in the course of the fighting.
Yeah. I lost your mic for a second there.
Okay.
Wait, when you talk about she wouldn't have appreciated what his character has become, you mean this war-hardened, I'm going to kill the other guy kind of guy? Is that what he meant?
Right. Well, my father, by the end of the war, was very mission-oriented, would be the kind way of saying it.
Yeah.
Adrenaline addicted to combat command
right.
might be another way of describing it. he still kept his humanity. He made some decisions where you could see that he went out of his way to spare life and property when he could.
Yeah.
But in other situations, he was remorseless in applying firepower when it needed to be applied.
It kind of had to be. So the next interesting question is, the name of the book is Battle Hardened. It is Craig Chapman. Go and get this book. It sounds amazing. The next question has to be, now the war is over. We've won. He comes home. How do you turn that off? A guy who's lived on adrenaline for how many years, how do you turn that off and become dad and husband again?
I'm not sure what did it, but he definitely turned. When the fighting ended in Europe, he was still intent on fighting more. He told my mother he wanted to volunteer for the battle in the Pacific. He wanted to help defeat the Japanese.
Yeah.
In fact, he didn't have to volunteer. His division was sent back from Europe to the U.S. to refit and retrain to go to the Pacific theater. But the atom bomb eliminated the need
right.
for that.
Right.
And oddly enough, at that point, my father switched into being a civilian and jumped right into a master's program at Purdue University as soon as the armistice was signed, or as soon as the peace treaty was signed.
He's been gone for a while now. I'm wondering, did he know that you had an interest in telling his story? If yes, what did he think? If no, what would he think that you're telling it?
Well, he knew I had an interest because we, my brothers and my mother, pressured him often to write the stories himself.
Okay.
He wouldn't. I don't know why. I have some ideas, but I have no actual explanation why he would not write what he was often free to express verbally. And I think part of it may have been that he felt that he was nobody special. Why should his story be recorded when millions? And I think he would be somewhat embarrassed
really?
To have this book published. I'm not sure he would have been entirely pleased with me.
Well, these are humble guys. I mean, my dad was in the Air Force, and he was a humble guy. When
right.
he passed away, you know, 7 years ago, we found out at his funeral that he was like some special ops guy or something. We were like, what? You know, so, I mean, you find this stuff out, but you've got humble people who just see it as, I'm an American, this is the job, okay. Let's go get the bad guy.
Right. And I think part of it is my father would much rather be remembered for what he accomplished in his civilian life than he was for what he accomplished in his in the war.
It's also incredible. I can't wait to read the book. It's Craig Chapman. The name of the book is Battle Hardened, An Infantry Officer's Harrowing Journey from D-Day to VA Day or VE Day. Mm-hmm. Craig, thanks a million. Let's talk again. Hopefully we'll sell a billion books. It's out there now, right?
Yes, it's in the stores and online right now.
Okay, go and grab it. It's Battle Hardened. Craig, let's talk again. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Back after this on the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Glad to have you. The secret password is Herculean.
Couldn't say
Herculean.
It, could you?
All I could think of was Hercules. And the Lean part was not coming out. And you know, look, I'm a linguist. I hear you. I get where you're coming from, Gary. I'm a communicator. I use the language, as my grandfather said. I use it a language to communicate what it is I'm feeling and thinking, but I could not get off the word Hercules.
Yeah. I knew it was Herculean.
Herculean. Girl.
Quite
Herculean.
Okay.
It actually makes it sound kind of nasty when you say it like that, doesn't it?
It does.
1-800. Well, let's ask Al Franken. I don't cuss. I was, but I. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Is the Al Franken situation different than the Roy Moore situation? I'm going to say yes. Look, I get that people, well, you're going to be biased and partisan and you're right wing and blah, blah, blah. I get you're going to say that. But let me spell out the differences. And I'm more than willing to hear you tell me why you think I'm wrong. And by you, I don't mean Carrie, because Carrie, generally speaking, is nasty and mean as she is to me half the time.
That's not true. I do like to tell you when you're wrong.
Doesn't really That's tell fun. Me, you're wrong. Blah, blah, blah. I don't get a lot of that. You're actually pretty cool when it comes to that. Yes, it's a compliment. Shush your face.
Wow.
So the differences are these. Roy Moore has been accused by, is it 9 women now? Is it 5? It's something like that.
I don't know.
He's been accused of things from, we were alone in his office and I was there for a law case and he grabbed my butt. That cannot be substantiated. Anybody can say that about anybody at any time. So I'm not here to say that women should not be listened to. I'm here to say, and I'm not here to say if it's a woman alone with a guy that she shouldn't be listened to. But I'm here to say if it's 20, 30, 40 years ago, how do you substantiate it now? And how do you explain why it comes out now? The yearbook stuff, that allegation, that, I don't know. Have you heard anything about the yearbook in the past week and a half?
No,
I haven't. That's kind of gone away. So then the Today Show or somebody has on the original accuser, the woman who was, says she was 14 at the time, 40 years ago, 38 years ago, and that he courted her and seduced her and pursued her, and he asked for her phone number or something outside the courthouse, and Roy Moore has vehemently denied it. Nope, didn't happen. Uh-uh. Nope, didn't. Now, at some point he said, I don't think I dated anybody without their parents' knowledge, that to which some people have said, well, that's an admission. Not that I know of. He says he doesn't remember it. It didn't happen. And generally speaking, he didn't, you know, date girls that much younger. When he said generally speaking or in general on Hannity's show, people latched onto that too. Al Franken. I just remember the kiss differently. Yeah, I take thousands of pictures. I don't know. If women feel like they were disrespected, I'm sorry. Yeah, I shouldn't have taken that picture. I thought it was funny. It wasn't funny. I mean, to me, it's apples and oranges. One guy says, screw that, I didn't do it. The other guy is saying, I did it, but I didn't say it the way they said I did it. But women should be listened to, and I love women. Carrie, are they different or are they the same?
No, I think they're different.
I mean, I don't think it's a stretch to say they're different. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Quick break. Got to go on TV. Back tomorrow. We'll continue on radio. Stay right here.
You're listening to Joe Pags. Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
You're darn right. Glad to have you. Great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com. The Joe Pags Show coming your way on a Monday. That's a Motown Monday. That's how we do. That's Carrie Lockie over there. News anchor, general pain in my butt.
Yep.
So Tony Parker back tonight, huh?
Yes, he is. He's starting tonight. It's going to be good.
Little of that for you.
Love it.
Yeah, you wondered if you would come off the bench. For those who don't know, Spurs point guard Tony Parker tore a tendon. I think it was the tendon that attaches his quad to something else in his leg. It was horrible. I mean, there was no impact or anything. He just went up for a shot, came down. That was it. He was out for 8 months. And I guess they thought he wouldn't come back until the beginning of the year, and he's coming back tonight, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, awesome. Our best player, Kawhi Leonard, still isn't back. I have no idea what the hell he did. It's not the same ankle injury from last year. Some sort of a quad injury as well. For those who don't know, your quad is sort of from your knee, between your knee and your hip, on the front of your leg. So, be interesting to see how he plays tonight. I mean, I would imagine he's ready. They're not going to put him in if he's not ready. So that's going to be very, very interesting. A lot of people tweeting and Facebook. And by the way, go to the social media, because I illustrated it again with another video how, because I wasn't on the air for 3 or 4 days, suddenly I lost like 70 people on the Facebook. Bad, lost 70. And I always look at it this way. Are people, because you have to literally go to my page and unlike me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not even me. It's the show. It's not even really about me. You have to physically, or you see my post show up as, I don't want that crap in my feed. And then you unlike the page immediately. Facebook wants me to believe, simply because I was off for 2 days or 3 days, 70 people made that conscious effort to say, screw that, I'm out of here. So do what Mark Zuckerberg hates. Go right now, facebook.com/JoeTalkShow, and click the like button. Power to the people, baby. And then Twitter.com/what? Joe Talk Show.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And click follow. Power to the people. And you can go to Instagram. And did we post? I posted a picture or two during the break, right? On Instagram. I didn't do a whole lot of Facebook.
On Instagram, so I didn't know if you did or not.
Wow, you really are. Welcome to 1993. Get your CompuServe and your AOL
there's
soon.
There's nothing wrong with not being on Instagram.
No, there's plenty wrong with that.
Oh, there is
plenty
not.
Wrong with that.
Good.
You're always posting your pictures over on Facebook. Why can't you post them on the Instagram?
Well, why do I need my Instagram if I've got Facebook and that's where I post my pictures? Hmm?
You know, because Instagram is really for like the family stuff.
Who
like you
says?
Post a lot of family stuff.
Who says?
Me.
Oh,
I've checked.
Oh, okay.
Another great picture of me there holding the turkey. At 29 comments and 563 likes. Okay.
Okay. Everybody needs to see that.
It's a turkey.
Turkey holding
this
the turkey.
Is always the funny one when somebody sees that. The funny line is always, which one's the turkey?
Oh, that's kind of funny. Come on.
You know, it's always hilarious. Somebody's always got to say that one.
Uh-huh.
Oh, which one's the turkey?
That's good stuff. Oh, there you are. Oh, nice.
Yeah, seriously, it's the first time you're even stalking my Instagram.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Just today?
Yeah. Every once in a while.
You know, today's Cyber Monday. Does that mean anything to you?
No, not to me. Did you buy anything?
I didn't. You know, I've been looking around. Listen, I've got a couple of bucks on my credit card burning a hole in my wallet.
Uh-huh.
I've been looking to burn some cash.
Today would be a good day to do it.
On Cyber Monday, nothing. There's nothing. Polo, you're a cyber geek. Are you buying anything today?
I bought a USB cable.
Woo! I mean, you know what I mean?
$7.
What is that?
Yeah.
Right. So, no, I haven't bought anything yet today, and I guess I'm not gonna. By the way, because it's Cyber Monday, there is a great deal from a great sponsor of the program, Boll & Branch. Boll & Branch, do their once-a-year Cyber Monday sale happening right now. Save 25%. Use my promo code PAGS, P-A-G-S, BollAndBranch.com, promo code PAGS. You got to do it now. The Cyber Monday's going to be ending soon. Now, I've been getting these emails the entire show, Carrie, from the Best Buy and from the something called Adorama. I go there and I buy some broadcast equipment.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm getting it from Corvette supply stores. What am I buying Corvette supplies? I mean, what
wow,
is that?
Wow, maybe you should. You need to check it out.
I don't need
after
any
the
supplies.
Show.
My cars are in good repair.
Oh,
I only
okay.
buy supplies from
okay.
Corvette. But I mean, everybody wants me to go and buy some Cyber Monday stuff. But the sales really. Can
not
I just say
good?
It? Except for the Boll & Branch sale is awesome. That's amazing. But every other sale, kind of sucky.
Really?
They're just not that good.
That's a shame.
Now, keep in mind, I'm one of those idiots that back in the day, don't.
Yes. So you don't even have to finish the sentence.
Why would you agree to that immediately?
I don't even have to finish it.
I'm one of those idiots. All right, let's go to the phone line. So you just want me to stop there then?
Yes.
It's rude. You know what? You know what that shows? That shows the people what really goes on at the show. This whole game where I'm the mean one and you're the nice one, it all goes out the window.
It's not a game. It's a truth.
But I'm one of those idiots that actually it was Albany, New York. Those listening in the capital region know what I'm talking about. It was 17 degrees out, and I'm standing outside of the Best Buy, and we're around the corner. Now, I really thought they were doorbusters. They're not. And I guess we all see the video now every Black Friday about people going into the store and
oh.
killing each other all over the big screen TV or whatever.
Yes.
But I thought it was truly a door buster. I'm not a small guy. I was going to get in there, bust some doors, and get a computer or two or something. But no, they go through the line, hand you a voucher. I'm like, well, what is this? Why am I out here? Why am I out here in 17 degree weather? You're handing out vouchers. And they had like the $100 computer or something that's normally $4 billion. And I didn't get one. And I was like, well, let me get the camcorder. Didn't get a camcorder. Let me get it. I waited 7.5 hours and I got, I think, a wireless Ethernet hub. I mean,
oh,
it was so stupid.
Dude.
It was just dumb.
No.
It was just dumb.
No.
Actually, saying wireless Ethernet doesn't make any sense. One's wired and one's not. I got an Ethernet hub where and you barely ever use the Ethernet at the house now. So, I mean, it was dumb. So I will never wait in line again like that again, ever. And I just look all year long for, you know what I told my wife the other day? I don't want anything for Christmas.
Really?
Because I get all the same stuff for Christmas, and it's like all on a table in my office.
That's why we don't buy you gifts. Hello, that one gift card I gave you, how many years ago? You still haven't used it.
You know why I didn't use it? Because I knew that you'd never give me another one.
So you wanted
I'm
to
keeping
cherish
it just
hold
to remember
on to
the
it?
One time that you ever got me anything ever.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And I do for you people all year long. I mean, I get nothing from you people. And look, at this point,
you
I don't even
get our
it
friendship.
And, would you really call it that, though? Let's be honest.
I would. I really
You and I
would.
Haven't talked in a week and a half. Are we really friends? Let's be honest.
Well, maybe not.
I'm stalking your page. I'm liking your pictures. You don't
hey,
like squat
I have
on
liked,
my page.
I, that's not
well, my
true.
Wife will
I
post
like
some crap,
page.
And you like, no. You'll like my wife's crap and not like anything I do.
That's not true.
My kid will post a picture of her toe and you're liking it. And I'll be like, look, it's me and the family. Nothing.
That's
crickets
not true.
From
I like some
family.
Of your pictures during Thanksgiving. Nah. I did too.
Nah, I don't think
I
so.
I did.
Pretty sure that didn't happen.
Yeah, I did. It totally happened.
1-800-383-9624. Will you buy a bunch of crap on Cyber Monday? Will you do anything on Cyber Monday? When did Cyber Monday even start? Seriously. Oh, look, Bill over on the Facebook wants me, all right, on with the show. Let's see. Maybe I'll just hide that comment and kick Bill right the hell out. How about that? How about that, Bill?
I gotta kick him out.
He seems to be a nice enough guy. Because if you're not talking about Al Franken constantly, then you're in big trouble.
I know.
So I asked the question going into the break at the top, is there a difference between Roy Moore and those allegations and Al Franken and basically those admissions? Yes or no? And I've been very surprised by watching, and I guess the left-wing media knows they're caught and there's really nowhere else to go. They really are starting to admit that, like, Bill Clinton's a piece of garbage, and Al Franken really has no good answers out of this. They're still trying to ride the Roy Moore train, but they can't. The guy keeps denying it. And if he's going to deny it, you can't just hang it around his neck anyway. Al Franken basically just saying, yeah, that's pretty much what I did. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Stay here.
Joe Pags.
Hi, great to have you. Welcome. It is the Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. You know what net neutrality is, Carrie?
I heard a lot about it last couple of days, or starting last week, I think.
That answer was like an Al Franken answer. I asked you a question
that
you told me that you've heard about it.
You tell me.
Hey, Carrie, you know anything about that net neutrality? Yeah, I heard a lot about it. Is that a yes or a no? I don't know.
Okay.
Net neutrality is remarkably complicated on purpose. The left that wants to keep it in place because it's a big fat government regulation is doing its level best to make it complicated. And I've never understood why people believe the bunk. You know what I mean? The left is telling, I'll give you the position of the left. Now, I'm not an expert on net neutrality, and I'm not going to pretend like I am. In fact, we'll have the the chairman of the FCC, Ajit Pai, on this program. Hopefully this week we're trying to set it up. Sam, I know that you're probably listening. Shoot me a message or an email if we've got Ajit Pai set up for this week. I contacted him. We've had him on before. We had him on when he wasn't the chairman. And I wanted to talk about net neutrality. As a conservative who wants smaller government, less intrusive government, I want fewer regulations. I mean, to the point to where we're not being taken advantage of, but fewer regulations. Like, we don't want people to be able to... Like, people complain about the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. But the fact is, back in the day, anybody could pick up some dirt off the ground, put it in a bottle and say, you know, eat this and it'll cure cancer, give me $100. Yeah, there should be some oversight. But ridiculous regulation is bad. Really bad. So I'm against it. Net neutrality was an Obama-era move, a regulation, that many believe, because it's been sold this way, will stop internet service providers, you know, like whoever it is that gives you the internet in your house or your business, from screwing you over. Without net neutrality in place, the ISPs, the internet service providers, were screwing you over. They were telling Kerry that I'm going to give you faster service than I give PAGs just because I want to. And because we can, there's no regulation saying that I can, I'm going to throttle his service and give you the fastest service available. And Obama said, not fair, neutrality. In a nutshell, the left is saying without it, internet service providers will screw you because it's just fun to do it. And again, I've never understood why anybody falls for this garbage. It is bad business for them to offer Carrie and me the same speed internet, yet for some reason throttle me and give her faster internet. That's just going to push me away, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
And you give me, if you and I go, I'll give you an example. We used to have the pizza place in Delray Beach, Florida, Damo's Pizza, next to Atlantic High School. And I think they've moved to Atlantic High School now to Linton Boulevard. Used to be on Seacrest. Either way. We had some sort of economics class or some business class walk in one day. And it's funny that I still remember this. It's almost 30 years now. But they walked in, and it was some sort of a test that the teacher or the professor was showing these kids. And they all ordered a slice. And I don't know, maybe I was drunk, and you know, but those are the salad days, Carrie. Yeah, I was probably loaded.
I understand. I'm sure.
But when
you
I sliced the pizza that we were selling slices, and I think a slice was like $2, $2.50 would give you a slice and a soda. I mean, that was really something.
Wow, that's a good deal.
Oh yeah, it was a great deal. People were making out like, you know, like bandits. So we cut it into eighths. It's a big, large 16-inch pizza. We cut it into eighths, and one of the slices was a little too big, which meant what? One of the slices was a little too small.
Mm-hmm.
You don't cut it in a perfect eight, you're going to make, you know, one slice too big, one slice too small. And the guy who gets the small slice says, I'd rather have a bigger slice. And I said, a slice is a slice. Well, it's really not if it's not the right size. That sort of relates to what, because the person was right. I gave the person a better slice, and I ended up eating that one or throwing it away or whatever. But the person was right. If you walk in and pay $2 for your slice, and you know, you're standing next to your friend or your wife or your boyfriend or whatever, and you get a little tiny slice and they get a big fat slice.
That's not fair.
You're going, oh, wait a second. We both paid exactly the same amount of money. Why is he getting more than I'm getting? Well, net neutrality allegedly was supposed to prevent you from getting one big slice or one small slice. It's a lie, though. That's not true. In essence, net neutrality is forcing internet service providers, and again, we'll have Ajit Pai fix all this if I'm screwing it up. But in essence, it forces internet service providers to offer everybody the same speed internet at the same price, and you can't have different levels of it. Like if you walk in at my pizza place and you said, not only do I want a slice, but I want it to be a slice of pepperoni, I would add 50 cents. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If there were pizza slice neutrality, if you walked in and said I wanted a cheese slice, and then Polo walked in and said, I want a pepperoni slice, I can only charge you the same amount of money.
Got it.
Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Well, I mean, it makes sense how I explained it,
yes.
But would it make any sense for me to charge you the same amount of money?
No, of course not.
I should, as the business, be able to charge you for a premium product, right?
Yes.
I mean, if somebody walks in and wants an everything slice of pizza, I could charge you $4. But Pizza Neutrality would say, screw that. You've got to give it to them for $2. That doesn't make any sense. Why can't I offer upgrades? Like, you know, I've got some cars that are really expensive. Mm-hmm. And I've got some that aren't. So should I be able to go to the car lot and say, hey, listen, I know that this car is $50,000, but you're also selling a car for $5,000. You now, because of car lot neutrality, have to sell me the expensive car for the $5,000. And if you don't, it's unfair.
Oh, that'd be just dumb.
It just doesn't make sense. That's backward. That's anti-capitalist. That's anti-free market. If I want a faster car, a newer car, a slice of pizza with toppings piled upon it, or if, God forbid, I want faster internet than you, I should be able to pay a couple more dollars and get faster internet than you. Now, if you and I pay the exact same amount of money, one of us should not get more speed than the other. It should be equal that way. But this basically tells companies you can't tier out your system. You can't have different levels of internet service. You can't have a premium service and pay a little extra to get that premium service. Well, why not? This is the way it's always been. We're not all driving Model A Fords or Model T Fords around. We're driving, you know, some have Porsches, some have Chevys, some have Hyundais. You know, we're all driving different stuff. And we're all paying different prices. I guess what I really have a hard time comprehending is why Obama thought he could regulate the internet. Was it just a test? Because he's basically regulating the internet the way that he tried to regulate healthcare, which is failing horribly. Was the next step to regulate cars? Was the next step to regulate plane flights? Look, if I want first class, I want to pay more money, I'll get it. By the way, I hardly ever fly first class because I'm cheap. So I'll go coach. Hell, I flew a Frontier Airlines flight for $59 not long ago. And the seat wasn't as comfortable as it could have been. There were no frills. If I wanted a soda, I'd pay $3. If I wanted the free soda and I wanted a softer seat, I'd pay more money. And I'd just stepped up to a different class, a different level, a different jet, a different company. Why is that somehow evil now? We don't have airline neutrality. We kind of have healthcare neutrality, which it's really not. It's a lie. We don't have car lot neutrality. We don't have, you know, pizza neutrality. Why do we have internet, this net neutrality? It's ridiculous. We'll have a better explanation, I'm sure, but hopefully that sort of wets your whistle on this. We'll have a better explanation from Ajit Pai when we have him on. Hopefully it'll be this week. We'll see if it's this week or next week, and I'll make sure that I keep you abreast of it. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com.
Joe Pags.
Ah, those liberals are freaking out over net neutrality. By the way, it's the Joe Pags Show. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. See, there was a long time on the internet where there was no net neutrality, and then it was put in place because people like these liberals on my Twitter all of a sudden think they know better. Brad says, you don't understand net neutrality. Well, that was very specific. And then Brian the Lady, which is the stupidest name I've seen, who I've almost blocked 15 different times because the guy's a complete leftist dork nut job. But I love him like a brother. We already pay for different speeds. They aren't able to block or throttle certain content. When there is only one provider in your area, if they block certain content, you can't access that content. That's the difference. If there's only one provider in your area, they want to provide for you because they're in business to make money. Why would they block a certain part of the internet from you? And Brian the doofus, why exactly was this not happening before net neutrality was put in place? An overwhelming, overbearing, Obamacare-like internet regulation put in place by Obama. Why was it necessary? some design person. Net neutrality doesn't disallow an ISP from providing speed tiers. Without it, an ISP can package out your service and make you pay a fee to access social media, then another fee for streaming media, and again to access online gaming. Says who? None of that happened before net neutrality was forced down our throats. I think it was a 3-2 vote. Or maybe it was a 2-1 vote. Either way, Ajit Pai was against it the entire time. Who, by the way, will be on Wednesday. Did I mention that it'll be Wednesday
here? Fantastic.
On the Joe Pag Show, the chairman of the FCC will be on this program. Net neutrality is about monopoly, says Brian the Doofus. Shut up. You know, to me, things have to make sense. Why would somebody who's in the business of offering service to get you online to the internet, why would they do something so destructive to their own business as overcharge the customers to where they're like, ah, forget it, I'm not going to do it then? Because we all basically have internet through our phones anyway. If we want internet into our homes, the internet service providers are going to have to compete for our business. There really aren't that many places that don't have but one provider offered. I mean, you could always get a satellite provider. The idea that this was somehow happening and Obama saved us from it is a lie. It didn't happen that way. But again, what did I say at the beginning of that conversation?
I don't remember.
Do you remember? Because you weren't paying attention. I said, I'm not an expert on net neutrality.
No,
I'm going to try to explain it the best I can think. But because I'm admittedly not an expert on it, I am 100% going to have the chairman of the FCC on.
On Wednesday.
I mean, doesn't that make sense to have the chairman of the FCC on?
Yes,
to explain why he's against net. He's against net neutrality. And I like Ajit Pai. I think he's a smart dude. So I'm going to back up what I said with having the chairman on. And then he can tell me where I was wrong, and I'm willing to be wrong. As I said, not an expert. Just like on Fridays, what I say, if I know something about it, we'll talk about it. If not, we'll move on. I'm not going to pretend I know about it. I gave you an overview of how I see net neutrality. And I think net neutrality, I know net neutrality, limits my ability, because I've made a couple extra dollars, to step up my internet. And the idea that this solves a problem is a lie. There wasn't a problem with internet service providers saying, I'm going to charge you for going on Facebook. That wasn't happening. It just wasn't. Let's not make stuff up to fit your argument better. So again, we'll have him on Wednesday. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. We're going to get into the weeds. I'm going to be very careful about this. I'm going to take a call or two on net neutrality. But again, not pretending that I'm an expert on it. Let's see what Wes in Arkansas has to say. Wes, what's going on?
Yeah, hey, Joe. Thanks for taking my call again. Hey, Carrie.
You bet.
You know, you started talking about, the first thing came to my mind was Obamacare, and you mentioned that. And then another thing you talked about a couple of years ago was minimum wage. The thing about the liberal lie is that we need to make everything equal for everybody. And so even though you might not be an expert in net neutrality, you're pretty good in common sense and economics. And what it does, rather than lower the price for everybody, it raises the price for everybody. You know, when the minimum wage went up, they thought that the owners of these places would just take a hit. They didn't think that they would raise the prices of their services. So,
and they didn't think that they would lay a bunch of people off either.
Exactly right. And they had to change the rules. What was a full work week and this and that and the other. So if they do net neutrality, then it you get one price for $10. They're going to raise everything to $100. So that was all
No, no, and you're absolutely right. And I do. I'm glad that you compared it to the minimum wage. The minimum wage is one of those, you know, pet topics for me. It's a pet peeve topic. Because those of you out there pushing for a $15 an hour minimum wage, and that, or pushing for a living wage, or pushing for a fill-in-the-blank wage, you're full of it. You don't seem to understand the way things work. If you force businesses to pay double the wage they're paying now, they're going to get rid of half of their staff, okay? Because they're going to pay the same amount of money in pay. You know, I saw somebody, I think it was 2 months ago, 3 months ago now, bragging about, it's the first McDonald's I've ever been to. This is on Facebook. Where there are no people asking to take your order. Think about that. So you walk in, and instead of having five or six different people at the cash registers, you actually do the ordering yourself. You walk in, oh, this is kind of neat, blah, 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 touch screen, here comes my food. Well, guess what? Five people aren't getting paid because you can now do that. Why was that necessary? Do you think these businesses would have done that anyway? Probably not. But when you tell somebody you've got to pay somebody $15 an hour to mop the floor or drop the fries, which is, generally speaking, a ground floor job, it's a springboard job. You start there, move your way up. Now you're telling the business, we're going to screw your bottom line. And the business says, oh yeah, watch this. So when you regulate something and tell them you must this or you must that, the business, if it wants to stay viable, is going to adjust. And yeah, we're all paying more money because of net neutrality for our internet service. That's just the way it is. Regulations always cost more money. I don't know of a regulation that's ever been put in place that was intended to save the customer money or to save somebody's job or to save somebody, you know, save somebody's life. Well, maybe the regulation with the saving the life, like the example I gave where I could sell a rock and say it was medicine, just throw it against your head. But when it comes to the reality of business, business, if it wants to be viable and survive, will adjust. And you know, for every ATM, there's you know, formerly a teller that probably had a job. For every automatic, you know, when I go to the car wash, I don't hand anybody. Carrie, when's the last time you handed somebody money at the car wash?
No, it's been a long time since that's happened.
Go up now, put in the credit card.
Yeah. Drive right in.
The wash is not ready. The wash is in service. You know, and then you go in when it says the wash is ready, and most of these places, you don't even see a person.
Yeah.
You see nobody. So guess what? Nobody's getting paid. Why? Because minimum wage isn't $2.90 an hour anymore. I'll say it again, just because I love how it gets people riled up. Minimum wage should be zero. $0.00. And if you can't figure out why that's smart, you're not using your head. 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com. Let me grab Adam in Houston. Adam, what's going on? Hello, Adam. Adam said I'm out of here. Okay, we come back. Have you heard about Piegate?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I sure have.
Piegate.
It's a thing.
Carrie, can you imagine living your life in such a state of hate that you have to find something stupid to complain about?
No, I don't want to live like that.
Can't be happy, can they?
No.
When we come back, I will explain Piegate. We'll have some pop culture for you. Stay right here on the Joe Pags Show.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags Show.
Hey, glad to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It's the Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com, Piegate. Piegate. You want to encapsulate what it is?
Basically, Sarah Sanders, she took a couple of days off for Thanksgiving, spent some time at the family farm, and made what looks like a delicious, chocolate pecan pie? Posted it.
You know, I've never had chocolate pecan. I've had pecan pie, which I like.
Looks
not
very
chocolate
nice,
pecan.
But I guess people were accusing her of buying it and not really making it herself.
Okay, so the headline from the LA Times, which is absolutely indicative and illustrative of how dead journalism is today. Dead.
Mm.
D-E-D, dead.
Yeah.
How Piegate is the latest example of the Trump administration's credibility being called into question from some doofus named Curtis Lee. He's the contact reporter. Hmm. What does that mean, the contact reporter?
I do not know.
Reports on what? Vision? Contact lenses?
No.
Did she bake the pie or not? That's how he opens this wannabe story. It's a question only White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders can answer. She said she baked it. She's already answered it, you doofus. Your story should be over. It's also a sign of where our polarizing politics have taken us in 2017. In a year, blah, 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 on Thursday, Sarah Sanders. So she tweets this out. I don't cook much these days, but managed this chocolate pecan pie for Thanksgiving at the family farm. Carrie, am I wrong, or did she just say she baked she made the pie and baked it?
Yeah.
By saying she managed it, I'm guessing that relates to how she doesn't cook much these days, but she managed this one, so she did this one.
Yes.
And this is where the controversy began, says this wannabe writer. Sanders' pie was pictured against a white background, and Twitter users, many partisans on the left, but also a journalist, wanted to see the pie in a more realistic setting, in Sanders' kitchen, perhaps, or at her dining table. April D. Ryan, who is a far leftist, I think radical racist, every question she asks is about race. Washington Bureau Chief for the American Urban Radio Network skeptically tweeted, "Show it to us on a table." You know what? Beep you. I mean, what are you talking about?
She doesn't have to show anybody on a table.
The tweet led to a hashtag Piegate trending on Twitter for several hours Thursday and Friday. Those on the right mostly viewed the spat as minor and silly, while those on the left continued to press for a legit pie proof. Indeed, on the surface, the pie matter seems trivial, the writer writes. But it also speaks to the credibility of an administration and a president who have faced repeated questions about truthfulness, said longtime Republican strategist John Weaver. Come on, dude. This is such a non-story. It's stupid. In fact, you know, I might be willing to call April Ryan racist or pieist. Could be a pieist.
A pieist. That's interesting.
Just so I understand, if Sarah Huckabee Sanders dares say that she baked a pie that she posts on Twitter, she has to show proof to April Ryan of people eating it.
Yeah.
Am I reading this right?
Yes, you are.
Now, there is a follow-up. April Ryan fires back at Sanders over pie. So I get this is from the Independent Journal Review. Sarah Sanders then, because April Ryan's an idiot, yeah, she says, I'll bake one for you. Because April Ryan goes on, she says, I'm not trying to be funny, but folks are already saying Piegate and fake pie. Show it to us on the table with folks eating it and a pic of you cooking it. Wow. I'm getting the biggest laugh out of this. I'm thankful for this laugh on Black Friday. So she tries to couch it with she's only kidding at the end, when she's clearly not. She really wants to see a picture of people eating the pie. Sanders quickly offered proof, saying she'd bake another for Ryan. Don't worry, April Ryan, because I'm nice. I'll bake one for you next week. Real pie, fake news, and then so on and so forth. And Ryan, because she's a pieist, says, okay, I want to watch you bake it and put it on the table. But forgive, I won't eat it. Remember, you guys don't like the press. And then she says, you can bring any pie you'd like, store-bought or homemade, into the briefing room, but trust and believe, I will not be eating it, but I will be raising my hand for questions, relevant questions. Does she think it's funny that she's suggesting that Sarah Sanders would somehow poison her or something?
Probably. She thinks it's hilarious.
And it's, oh, I'm getting a great laugh out of this, but show us you baking it, putting it in the oven, taking it out of the oven, putting it on the table, and serving it to people in your family. But I just get it. It's just a joke. It's just crazy. It's a lark. Come on. I just get it. But seriously, no. I seriously want to see you bake it.
Isn't that crazy?
Carrie, what has happened to us?
I don't know. We're doomed.
And Sarah Sanders, I think, is trying to play along and be funny and be cute and all this other stuff. And what we have is people, really hate-filled people.
Yeah.
Who are like, I mean, dude, You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
And I want to be I want to be able to laugh a little bit. I mean, even with Obama, whose policies, man, did they suck. They were horrible. Horrible. I did not like what the man envisioned the country looking like, regulation-wise, governmentally, even racially, because, I mean, he hurt race relations horribly. But when the guy was funny, I gave him the props. The guy was funny. He even sang Let's Stay Together pretty well at the Apollo, although it was completely inappropriate for the president to sing Let's Stay Together at the Apollo. But this is just hate here. This is hate. April Ryan does not come off as being funny or cute. She comes off as being a hater, and it's crazy. Pop culture. Bam! Dirty pop. What's going on, brother man?
Speaking of hate, yeah. Do you remember Morrissey? He was the front man for the group The Smiths in the 80s.
Morrissey sounds more familiar than The Smiths, but yeah.
Okay, so I guess he was being interviewed by a German publication where he basically said that if there was a button that he could push for the safety of humanity, he would kill President Trump.
Hey, there you go. Come on, now we're talking, right?
Yeah.
Come on.
And he also
thinks it's okay.
Yeah, and he also says that the American media helped Trump win.
How so? They attacked him the entire time.
I know. He says that, you know, the president doesn't care. He just wants to see his picture and his name, and the American media have shot themselves in the leg.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Congratulations. Welcome back. All right. We got to get out of here for Polo, for Karina, for Kerry, for Sam, Joe Pags. Back tomorrow, same time, same place. And let me tell you something. Glad to be back on today. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
This is the Joe Pags Show. Bye.